You're listening to EAA Radio, the radio voice of AirVenture.
This is EAA Radio. I'm Farid Guillot. 80 years ago, on November 2nd, 1929, 26 women gathered to form the Women Pilots Organization known as the 99s. At the time of its formation, there were only 117 licensed pilots in the U.S., and there was fairly staunch resistance to women participating in flying activities, especially air racing. Amelia Earhart and other air racers helped form the initial group, and she was elected as president in 1931. 99's president Susan J. Larson joins us.
So there's just over 100 women pilots in 1929 in the U.S. Now there are many more, and aviation is much more integrated. Women have a huge role in aviation now, don't they?
They really do. They feature in every facet of aviation, from flight instructors right up to the people who fly the shuttle for NASA.
In 1929, powered flight had been around barely 20 years. What women in society were likely to become pilots, and how hard was it to do that?
When I think about the years that we're talking about, back in the 1920s, when you think that women just got the vote in 1920 here in the United States, these women were like stubborn and determined. They had to show that they could really take, really show who they were as someone very different than their mothers. Learning to fly or flying at that time really had to be dangerous. We've all seen some of those pieces of video footage that show aircraft. It would almost seem like falling out of the sky back then. We know it didn't do that as pilots, but they had that. It was a dangerous appeal, and I think the danger even appealed to these young women who were so determined to show their stuff.
These women obviously were very skilled, but what was the attitude of men during that time? Did their prowess on, say, for example, the race course change any attitudes?
I wish I knew the answer to that one. I tend to see that we always still keep running into attitudes that women can't do certain things. And I fear some of that comes as much from women and the way they're raised. Those days back in the 1920s and that first air race across the country, it started in Santa Monica, ended there at Cleveland. It was actually the founding of the 99s. It was under the bleachers there at the Cleveland Air Races where Amelia Earhart and some of these other women who raced got together and said, we need an organization for women. I think the racing, particularly back then, and women in the news, affirmed women's attitudes more about what they could do than dealing with men's attitudes.
Specifically as it relates to racing, Danica Patrick is the first woman rock star in the automotive racing world, and women have been racing cars for many years preceding this. Amelia Earhart was a rock star during her time. What was different for Ms. Earhart?
Amelia was, well, you think about the fact she learned to fly in 1921, as you had already mentioned about powered flight. It hadn't been around very long. This was all a very new and exciting era. She managed to time. I mean, her life was just perfect for timing for aviation, to promote aviation. She was the first woman to cross the Atlantic in an aircraft. And that, amazing, as she said, she was a sack of potatoes on the flight. She was not she was not flying the aircraft. However, she got a heck of a lot of attention. She then proceeded to fly it on her own 4 years later in 1932 as a solo. That, I think, was absolutely, truly amazing. And it was something that no one had ever done. She also had she had a support group that no one has ever really seen quite the same before, and that was George Palmer Putnam. He was, might have been the first very big, he was like his own media mogul. He could really promote, and he promoted adventurers. And he found Amelia Earhart, and he promoted her, and he put her where she was, and they worked out a team relationship.
How has the 99s, which Amelia Earhart was one of the charter members, influenced women's participation in aviation since its beginning?
Well, I like to think that Amelia if you study at all or even just go to the movie, she really had this amazing can-do enthusiasm and belief. What was truly amazing about Amelia in her era was that she supported other women. She had actually been working in Boston at a settlement house, and probably it was her first job that she's actually stuck to and found that she fit into, and that was supporting women. So when she came in on the aviation side, she took that same attitude, and she was able to, it didn't matter who came along, the other women who became part of the 99s in particular, whatever they attempted to do in aviation particularly, she was amazingly supportive.
During the 2008 election cycle, we had a woman as a primary contender for president, and during that time there was talk of a glass ceiling still existing for some of the highest offices in the land. Aviation literally has some pretty high offices as well. What challenges remain for women as far as advancement in aviation?
I kind of really think of what I would consider the ultimate is that we have a woman pilot walking on Mars. I chuckle at that a little bit. We've had women part of the Mercury 13 program that was started under LBJ's days, but then it was kind of just pushed into a back corner. We've had women already now have gotten involved in the military. They're flying combat. The women's Air Force service pilots, the air service pilots of World War II are now being honored. We've come so far, but I really like to think that walking on Mars would be the ultimate challenge.
I suppose if we're not really noticing that women are participating in aviation, that means that they're pretty integrated now.
One would like to think so, but women make up, we estimate here in the United States, only about 6% of the pilot population. It's still an area that it just takes a certain mindset to want to delve or jump into aviation. The 99s take a real significant role in education at the local level, bringing aviation or science, technology, engineering, and math to young women particularly, but to students of male or female, into local schools. We actually go out and spend, we do full training with them. We'll do it through Girl Scouts. We do it through various similar organizations. And this is a way just to bring possibilities to younger people.
The actual anniversary of the 99s was just a few days ago. What celebrations has your organization put on this year?
Well, the big celebration we had this year was really celebrating our founder, one of our 99 founders, I should say, Amelia Earhart. And we did this through our local chapters. We have in the United States and Canada, the 99s has over 160 chapters at the local level. They do most of the work of the organization. This was a great way for our chapters to celebrate our 80th anniversary.
And you may have another member if Hilary Swank, the lead actress in the movie, decides to pursue her license.
Well, I hope she will. I had a chance to speak to her at the press conference that was out in New Jersey back on the 16th of October. We talked about her flying. She is under contract right now to promote the movie, and they actually expressly have told her she cannot fly solo for insurance reasons. But I believe she'll be there pretty soon and want to proceed in that area. She's a delightful lady. She's highly intelligent. I think she found it affirming, and it's such a way to free the spirit, too, to go to fly and be pilot in command. So I really encourage her flying and welcome her as a member of the 99s.
I suppose any woman who is interested in flying, it's going to be hard to keep her on the ground.
Well, I like the way you said that, and I totally agree.
Susan, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Susan J. Larson is president of the 99s. The organization formed to advocate for women pilots is celebrating its 80th birthday. You're listening to EAA Radio.